Amen. Thank you for that beautiful song. We can go in because we're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here this morning. So much to worship Him for and so much to thank Him for. He is my microphone on? Okay. We've been preaching a series of messages on God's hallelujah course of praise. And the more I study God's Word, the more I understand and realize that the numbers in His Word are so significant. For instance, seven parts of His Hallelujah Course of Praise found in Psalms 148. And seven, of course, is God's complete perfect number. And then we saw other numbers along the course of this study. This is the fourth message in the series. We looked not only at the Hallelujah Course of Praise, what comprises that hallelujah course of praise, but we looked at the ways we praise God, the means in which we praise God. The Word of God is just full of problems that man has had, but the solution to all man's problems is found in the Word of God through the precious blood of Jesus. Then we looked at not only the means of the ways we praise God, but we looked at the many benefits or the manners in which we praise God. But this morning I want to look at a different subject. It's all the same subject, but I want to look at God honors and provides for those of us that will praise Him. Now, God's on the throne. He has everything under control. And even though we don't think He's got the world under control, it's just exactly like He wants it to be. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. Why? Because He knew men's sin. He knew men. And women, boys and girls, will be out of touch with Him, out of sync with Him, not in tune with Him. But He provided the means. And we want to look this morning at the reassuring thought that if we'll get in tune with Him. Now, the other six parts of God's hallelujah course of praise, we touched on those. He's got all that perfectly under control. The angels in heaven, the stars, the planets, the birds, and the animals, the flowers that bloom. But you and I need a lot of help because most of the time we are out of tune. But this will be a reassuring message to let us know that if we'll get in tune, He will honor it. We want to look at four different examples this morning. First of all, we want to look at 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 37. We won't read them all because we want to look at praising God through prayer in His house. Now remember, there's multiple ways of praising God. We're only looking at part of them. We'd have to be the rest of the year to look at all the ways we praise God or all the ways we discord and don't praise God. But one particular way that He tells us in this passage, if we will pray, particularly in the house of God, pray under an oak tree, pray as you're driving down the road, pray a lot of places, but God in particular honors and provides for those among us, among those His children in the world, that will pray, and that prayer will be centered in the house of God. One of these days, perhaps, I might do a series of messages, if He allows me to do that, on everything, anything that's worth anything is centered in the house of God. We see excerpts of it all the way through the Word of God, and we'll see today that prayer, yes, but where did they pray? The house of God. Why? Because anything that's worth anything in this world is measured by the fact of the house of God. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the house of God is where He chooses. He chooses for us to come and praise Him and worship Him, and He will provide and honor those that do. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, we're talking about King Hezekiah. He had a lot of problems. He had a lot of triumphs. He had a lot of possibilities. And remember, God had sent the death sentence upon him one time. But he sought the Lord, and God extended his life, King Hezekiah. And he built mighty things for God, but yet he gave a lot of God's things away to mortal man, to other kings, as you and I do too. None of us here this morning are using all the talents that God has given us. We give them away. We are slackers in that regard. The talents He gave us to honor and praise Him, we give it to the world, so to speak. If you don't use it, you give it to the world. And now we see that Hezekiah had come to grips, because now he is surrounded by the enemy. He's in the walls of Jerusalem, and the enemy has prevailed. They are camped all around Jerusalem. And God gave him a solution to that, remember, because there was one fountain, the one spring that they drew water from, and it was a virgin spring. And God had provided for him to channel it. The spring was outside the city wall. And if you go to Israel, you'll see why they built the walls where they did. You say, well, why didn't they build the walls and let the spring be within? Because the Mount of Olives is just a high peak. And if they had built a wall any lower down, then people could have seen from the mountaintop all that was going on. So God channeled, and Hezekiah put men in, at both ends, and made a great tunnel and channeled the water to get into the city walls. And you and I may be in camp all around, but the free flowing grace of God has a way of tunneling right in there, ever flowing. I didn't mean to tell this, I've told it before, but I'd always read the Word of God, and I wanted to see the virgin fountain, and I wanted to go there because that water empties into the pool of Siloam. And that's where Jesus, remember, anointed the man's eyes and sent him to wash therein. And I wanted to do that, and as we went there, the tour had left, and I liked to remain behind. I'm just a loner, so to speak. I just get more emphasis and more praise when I'm just alone with God. Everybody else gone. So I lingered behind, and God spoke to my heart there. And he said, dip your finger in that water. Well, first of all the waters present day around Jerusalem are contaminated with germs and this filth in the street and everything. And God said to me, dip your finger therein and anoint your eyes with that water without hesitation. If God told me to do it, it don't make any difference about germs. If God said do it, do it. He said, I want to let you see some things. Anoint with that water, and I did. And then he said, dip your finger back in and anoint your tongue with that water. And if you think about it, all those germs and everything, and not American water, so if you drink water in any other place, you're apt to get sick. But if God said it, don't worry about it. I want to anoint your tongue to speak the words that I'll have you speak. So quickly, without even hesitation, without even thinking about it, I just did that. And so now Hezekiah's done so many wonderful things. But now this spring is flowing freely through that tunnel he built to the people of God. But hey, there's food that they need. And the enemy is camped around. And they are sending words. You're relying on your God to deliver you. Look at the rest of the cities that we have surrounded and we have captured. You're just a lame duck, Hezekiah. You're not going to make it. And look at the world today. Look at their nation. Look at everything that's happened. It seems like we're surrounded by the enemy. Hey, but there's still water flowing to the people of God. And they're still the house of God. So look what Hezekiah does. Because anything worth anything is going to be centered around the house of God. That's already a proven fact by the Word of God. So now let's look at praising God through prayer. Where? In the house of God. Hezekiah tells us how to do that. 2 Kings 19:14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. The enemy has said you're not going to make it. The enemy has said it's just a matter of time. Your God can't deliver you. We're going to prevail. What could he do? He had a lot he couldn't do. He went to the house of God and spread that letter and let God take care of your problems. God can handle it. You and I can't. But we don't have to handle them. We have him. And we have the house of the Lord. And we have the ability to pray. And praise through prayer in his house will accomplish much. Verse 15, And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, that are the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Just acknowledging who he is. And we know that God's everything, but when we acknowledge and get in our mind, that enemy out there, I don't amount to anything. You created the world. You created us. You're the creator, God, and I come before you, and I spread it out, and I give it to you, Lord God. Verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thy only. Problems? Yes. Difficulties? Beyond the scope of mankind to solve them, but beyond your scope and mine. They're out there. They have surrounded us. We have the house of God, and we have prayer. And let's look now to see that this great God, if we please God, he is powerful. We know that. But pleasing him is the key. And I know how to please him because he told me how to please him. Offer prayer in the house of God. We're here this morning. We offer prayer to the house of God. Let's look how God performs and gives his powerful benefits to those that will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and bow before him and reverence who he is and praise him through prayer in the house of God. So God sends his servant. Hezekiah is praying to the God of heaven, but God uses people. He used a great prophet to give him the word. I have heard, I have seen, I know your circumstances. In fact, I orchestrated it, I purposed it, and he'll bring us to the place that realize that he is the only help that we have. There's no other help in this world that we can have, but we don't need any other help. We have the Lord. Let's look what happens when we please God. Verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Thou which hath prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. We offer prayer and praise in the house of God, and God in heaven, there's no walls. There's no enemy that can keep that prayer from going through. And God attests to the fact that I heard that prayer, and I'm going to do something about it. I'll take matters in my own hands. Why? Because there's still freedom, and there's still praise offered, a flowing stream in that tunnel that they made for the water to flow. It just reminds us that there is a tunnel provided. We heard a beautiful song about it because that we can praise the Lord and because God hears and answers prayers. We can stand and we can go in and enter. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Verse 21, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. That's Sennacherib, the king, the mighty one that's got all the power. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee. And laugh they to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem have shaken his head at thee. What's God doing when all the problems of the world seems to be coming against the children of God? He's laughing at it. Proverbs says God will laugh in their time of ignorance. When the fear cometh by those that hate God, God laughs. Why? Because he's provided his grace. They ignore, they despise, they want to tear down. Well, all we have to do is just spread out before the Lord and the house of the Lord, no matter what the enemy does, no matter how strong you think the enemy may be, God is able. There is a flowing stream of grace to all the believers. Verse 22, whom hath thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? And then we'll skip on down for sake of hurrying. Look at verse 27. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me in that turmoil is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips. I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. Sennacherib, you came from afar. You sent all these thousands and hundreds of thousands of troops. And you say you're going to destroy my people. I'm laughing at you. Not only are you not going to do anything like that, but I'm going to turn you back. He's able. He's powerful to do that. Let's see how it pleases God enough when we honor and praise him to do something about it. Let's keep reading. And the next verse says, I'll skip a couple of verses. Verse 31. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts provides this. Verse 32. Therefore saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. How is the people in Jerusalem that's now been surrounded for many days by a much stronger enemy they are, how's God going to do it? Because he's God, because he has all the arsenal, he has all the means, and he has proclaimed, not one arrow shall go over the wall to hurt my people. There's nothing going to happen. I'll turn them back. Let's see how God performs this. It's not a question as if will he perform it. I'm just interested in how he performs it. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. See, when we pray to God concerning the problems that we have, concerning the worship of our God, he's doing us these mighty acts for his name's sake. And he doesn't like it when the enemy approaches and prevails and try to tear down and blaspheme the name of God. And the enemy may do that, but God's going to prevail. So we don't worry about it. No matter if we're surrounded by the enemy, he is our Lord. Verse 35, and it came to pass that night. He didn't even wait another night, did he? He didn't have to prepare anything. He just performs. That the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One angel sent from God to the enemy out there killed 185,000 men. In the morning when the sun shone brightly, there were only corpses around. So what's man going to do when he tries to stand against this powerful God? What initiated the actions of God? Prayer in the house of God from his people, pouring their heart out to God for his name's sake, and for the world to know that he is God. But it gets even more interesting. Not only 185,000 killed. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and they'll dwell at Nineveh. He thinks he's getting away now. 185,000 of his men's dead, but he thinks he's going to depart from the evil city. Remember Nineveh? Jonah went and preached in Nineveh, and a lot of people had turned themselves to God. So he thought this was a city of refuge. But when he got there, this is Sennacherib, the king, two of his sons smote him with the sword, and he died. And they had to depart and go to Armenia. But then the third son took over, and Jerusalem was free. What did God say? Not one arrow. Not one shield, not one dart going to enter into my people. What initiated all? Prayer in the house of God. You got problems? I got problems. The house of God. Seeking the Lord our God. In behalf of his name's sake. In behalf of the works that he wants us to do. So we have seen that praising God through prayer. But I want to look at the third thing. There are things in the Word of God that is so important. And this is God's promise. Let's turn to Proverbs. God's promise to you and I. Things he will do when we praise him. Now, Hezekiah just bowed before him and said, God, we're in trouble. And God delivered through his man Isaiah and told him what he's going to do. And God did it. Now, remember, that passage of Scripture said, God said, I'm going to take care of it. And he did. Promises fulfilled. Well, let's look at some promises to you and I. God's promises when we praise him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, this is the way we praise him. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We praise the Lord because we keep his commandments. We praise him because we don't forget his law. Well, look at the next verse. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God's mercy is always flowing. His truth always prevails. And we need to come to grips with it. And the promise that he made, remember, is secure and steadfast. And next we see in verse 4, this promise, or verse 2 rather, for length of days and long life and peace shall add to thee. He says if we'll honor him and forget not his law, he'll not only give us long life, but he'll give us peace during the time of it. We may, some of us may die early deaths. I mean, some people don't live to 40 and 50. But while we're alive, we can have the peace of God. Explain it. I can't, because he already said the peace of God passeth all understanding. Words are not adequate to describe the peace of God that he wants to give. So he says in verse 3, if we let not mercy and truth forsake us, here's a promise, verse 4. So shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It pleased God that they offered prayer in the house of God, Hezekiah. Well, now he says another way to please God. You find favor and you'll find good understanding in the sight of God and man if you remember his law and keep it in your heart. God always comes through on his promises. Here's another one, verse 5. This is what we're promised if we'll seek his face. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's what Hezekiah did. He just brought to the Lord and trusted in the Lord. Trust goes a long way. I remember my two little boys were growing up. I would set them upon something high, and I would say, jump to my arms. And they looked down, But when I got up close, jump to Daddy. It wasn't that far of a leap. And then once they seen I would catch them, I could get farther and farther back. And even if they were 7 or 8 foot on a stair or something, they knew Daddy was going to catch them, and I could come back a long ways. And the trust they had, why? It was built up gradually. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We learn that as we go. He has never failed us. He never will fail us. And all we have to do is put our trust in him. Look what he said he would prevail after we trust him. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. See, when we trust God, it's the most healthy thing we can do. Trust him. Trust him for the food, for the raiment. Trust him for everything. He promises that he'll give us health. He'll give us strength. It shall be health to thy navel. Here's another one. It's our job, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. This is one he wants us to do. Put God first in their lives in every regard. We got 24 hours a day. He doesn't shortchange you nor I. And if we take the best part, the first part, if we take that which he gives us and put him first in our life, this is what he will promise to do. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God prospers those that will put him first. These are the ways we praise him. And when we praise him and we offer this praise to him, God is pleased and God gives us these promises. His promises will not fail. One other one. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father, the son, in whom he delighteth. Sometimes along life's way, we say we're giving him everything, we're putting him first. We may say that, but there's areas of our life, no doubt, because we don't see as he sees. And sometimes I've done it before, and I have too, when I have the courage and the fortitude to say, God, search my heart. Not just words, but in my heart. Meaningfully, God, search my heart and reveal to me anything that's in there. I never have failed to do that, but what he has shown me, something in my life I did not know. Why don't I do it more? The flesh is weak. The flesh don't want to do it. The flesh doesn't want to be shown those things in our life that aren't pleasing, because we're pretty pleased with them ourselves. But he promises if we'll reveal to him our heart and lay it all out before him as Hezekiah did, then God searches the heart, and he may have to spank us along the way, and he may have to correct us, and no doubt he has to and he will. But he says, don't despise it. I'm just getting you closer to me. Remember, the height didn't make any difference to my sons when they were little because they trusted me. And God says, if you learn to trust me, and if you don't learn it, I'll have to correct you to make you, because I've got some things for you. We've looked at three different ways. I want to look at the fifth way, and we'll be closing. Praising God through virtuous living. It's another way we praise God. Many, many ways to praise God. We praise him through prayer in his house. We praise him through trusting him. We praise him for doing all these things Proverbs told us to do. But let's look in the last phase of the sermon this morning at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Praising God through virtuous living. It pleases God. Now remember, if you praise God through these things, it pleases him. And if you want somebody's undivided attention, you just please them. That's the way we treat our children. Our children, we try to get them to please us, do we not? Well, I know how to get my children to please me. Do that which is right to them. And don't withhold anything that God wants to give. Give them correction and everything. But now, this is the last thing we're going to look at. Praising God through virtuous living. He tells us all these wonderful examples. We'll read what he expects us to do, and then we'll concentrate on what God said he would do. Remember, promises of God are sure and steadfast. Philippians verse 8 of chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In other words, do what we've been taught to do in his word. From a little child, my mother and dad taught me well. I didn't have to use a lot of verbiage. I just looked at their actions. I looked at the love, and I saw the love in their eyes. I saw them faithful to the house of God. I saw them putting God first. And because I saw that in them, God instilled in me to be like mom and dad. And then my grandparents were like that too. I was blessed. There's no doubt about that. Well, my job was to instill that in my children so they will instill it in their children. And there's no other way to please God except to rear our children in that accord. So he lists all these things, and we don't have to go through them individually. But he says, whatsoever things are honest, the honest report. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and are lovely. God majors on those precious things in our life, not bitterness, not hurting one another, not get even. Oh, they did that to me, I'll do that to them. No, pray for those that despisefully use you. That's my job, that's your job. We're talking about pleasing God. And if we please God and do these things that we know to do, here's what God's going to do. The last part of verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. Could you ask for any more than that? Hezekiah, what are you going to do? It's not what I do, it's what he does. Well, how can I talk to him into doing what I need? Just lay it all out before the Lord, in the house of the Lord, and seek his face. He will take care of the rest. That's how simple it is. Every one of us tries to work things out. We try to accomplish. We try to twist things. Whatsoever things are just or pure or honest, think on these things. And God says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. If we, you know what that is? That's trusting God. We are in the state we're in because God ordered it that way. He ordered it that way for a lot of reasons. Maybe to correct us. Maybe to cause us to see that we can't do anything by ourselves. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes we say, oh God, show me all these things. Show me why. And there's a song, by and by, when the morning comes, we'll understand it better by and by. I love that song. But there'll be no tears in heaven. And a lot of people say, and I probably have too, in times past, I don't understand why I went through that. I don't understand why I have to go through that. But when I get to heaven, I'll ask him and I'll find out why. You may, but you may not. Why? Because all former things are passed away. And the little things, I say little, you say they're big. They're big, but they're nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. And when you get home, there's so much rejoicing and praising and seeking his face and worshiping him that the former things are pretty irrelevant. So enjoy the journey. Trust in God for the day, tomorrow. And it's okay if you question him. Jesus said, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? He didn't go any farther than that. He didn't say you've done wrong. Maybe okay if you want to say, God, why? But I really believe in my own heart that if I trust him, and I know he's let things happen for me because it's his right will to do so, I know it's for my good. All things work together for good because God's ordering them. So instead of questioning myself, I've learned to trust him in it. I've learned to give him praise in it. You say, how can you praise God when things are going bad? I've learned to do that. When I was 35 days in the hospital dying, God taught me to be thankful. He even taught me to be thankful that he had invoked that on me because it was for my good. I'm not perfect. I'm just learning to trust more and more. In closing, that's what Paul says. Finally, my brethren, when Paul says, finally, my brother, he just gets started pretty good. Now we're going to look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment is godliness. Contentment is trust. Things are going bad. It could be worse. Thank God they're as well as they are. And I'm trusting Him. If I'm in the middle of a bad fix, I'm laying it all out before Him. And the best place to do that is in His house. And that pleases God. And when you please God, good things start happening. He takes care of all those problems. And you don't have to worry about it. You can pillow your head at night. And you can go to sleep without worry about anything in this world. That's trust. Paul says, I have learned. Now, you and I have never been through the problem Paul went through. Rejected of men, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, beaten. We've not gone through that yet. Yet he says, I have learned in all these things to be content. Why? Because he allowed me to go through it for his name's sake, to give him honor and glory. And I've learned to trust him more. Verse 12, I know how both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God lets us go through the praise and honor. He lets us go through the things that hurt, the things that would destroy us. God will rescue us, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. God's able to sustain us and direct us. All we have to do is learn to please Him in all things. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Brother Rand got a song of invitation, my brother. Hopefully God has instructed us in these messages. I know He's tried to. If He had someone that's obedient to Him, He will. How to get more in tune with Him. Because can you imagine? You really can't. God in heaven, perfect, perfection, create everything in perfection. And that last thing He created, man, got it all messed up. And God's trying through His word to get some of us back in tune. Will the world ever get in tune? No. But God will take care of that. But He is trying to get you and I to get in tune with Him in all things and live a life that's virtuous and live a life that's praised of Him. And when you please God, you just present before God. He'll take care of it. When did He do it for Hezekiah? Same night. He may, sometimes God's long-suffering. But I'm afraid sometimes the reason He lets us go long-suffering is because He still teaches how to trust Him. Hezekiah was desperate. He said, I'm needy and I'm helpless. And he needed help then. Sometimes we think we need help when really, we haven't arrived yet. So let's just please God in all our ways. He'll direct your paths. Brother Andy.
I will serve.
Lord, for his touch, for his word. And I pray that everyone that will seek his face. Sometimes he allows desperate things to happen, so we will seek his face. Would Hezekiah ever went in desperation that day into the house of God to seek his face unless he'd been surrounded by the world's problem? Neither will you, neither will I. So can the good thing when he gives us a burden to pray. And you can pray at home, that's good. Hezekiah could have too, but he chose to go to the house of God. God's pleased. He's pleased this morning when you're here. Many of you could stay. You could not. There's some of you could not have stayed home because you love the house of God that much. No matter what, others can't be here, and I understand that. But thank you for being here, and thank the Lord for being here with us in these days. Announcements. Usher's going to be back at the back. If you are a visitor this morning, if you put that visitor card in the offering plate, you'll find it in the back of the pew. Your offerings and tithes goes back there as you leave. Proud and happy you're in the house of God. Most of all, we're thankful God is in the house with us. It's his house. He bids you come. He's pleased that you came. Let's worship him. When we leave this place, remember, not only here, but everywhere we go, we praise God. Desperation comes, it's okay. He's still on the throne. Grace is still flowing, no matter what. My mind's heart's clear. Brother Guy, if you'll come dismiss us, my brother. Thank you for being here, everyone.
Father, we want to thank you this morning for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your provisions, for your protection, Father, upon your church, upon your people. Father, we realize and we admit, and we understand, Father, that we do not know what we need. But, Father, we confess that we need more of you. Lord, I pray that you teach us, you direct us to trust you more. Help us as an individual, help us as a church family, to do what we need to do to get where we need to be for your honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's came out this morning, for those who are watching by the way of internet. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts, stir our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us in these days to serve you like we've never served you before, trusting and leaning upon you. Lord, we bless your name. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you.